Welcome to the Truth Wars Podcast with Dr. Olin Stubbs.
If you got a Bible, open up to Ephesians 5, but we're not necessarily going to go through that verse by verse, but I am going to read it. But just a little bit of perspective, what we're going to do. It is going to be Olin and Lena, but maybe a little bit different just because I have more experience doing this. So we kind of talked about what we wanted to say. I'm going to talk for 25 minutes, absolute max, probably even less. And then we're going to do question and answer at the end. So if you want to hear from Lena, you have to ask questions because that's when she's coming up to join me during the Q&A. And I'm going to direct all the weird, awkward, and sexual questions towards her. So it'll be really fun. And I'm interested to hear what she's going to say. So please be writing down questions anonymously. And we'll take like a 1 minute break in between and pick those up. And I'm serious about everything I just said. But what we're going to do is look more practically. The idea of tonight is, how do you keep your marriage fresh after 20 years? Or another way to say it is, how do you love your spouse well 20 years in? Okay, and I'm going to give us some very practical applications. I'm actually going to start with that and then give some principles about how you kind of apply these principles and then a couple of perspectives about all that. Okay, and I'll just say this. All the practical things that we're going to say here tonight will be the exact same things that we do say to newly married couples or couples that we're doing pre-marriage counseling with. And I don't know that you're going to be shocked by anything, but for a lot of us, there's old information that we know, but we don't really live in light of it. And that's where we get in trouble a lot of times. Okay, so let me just read Ephesians 5 quickly, starting in verse 22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it. Husbands, you should underline, circle, put a box around, star the word cherish, okay? Just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Now, there's a lot of practical ways that you can keep your marriage fresh after 20 years. There's a lot of practical ways that you can love your spouse well after 20 years. And I'm not going to try to say all of them. Just one by way of introduction that I'm not going to say, and maybe Benny could talk more about this next week, is it's a good thing to go on some sort of vacation with just you and your wife at least once a year. It doesn't have to be expensive. It doesn't have to be like a 2-week Viking river cruise in Europe or something like that. It could literally, we the first probably 4 years we were married, we did so many of these weekend trips in Gatlinburg where it's all free if you just listen to the 90-minute presentation until we were angry and the people were angry. Well, we just abused the mess out of that system, okay, when we didn't have a bunch of money. And if that's where you're at, abuse the system. It's there for that, okay? Take advantage of that system. It could just be there. Sometimes we just rent a hotel in Birmingham just for one night, just to get away, eat a nice dinner, talk, not have the pressure of the kids. You know, sometimes when we go on maybe a nicer vacation, people sometimes say, are you taking the kids? And we're like, no, that's the whole point. At some level, we could just give our kids away for a weekend and stay home. That would be the vacation. Now, is there a place for vacation with your kids? Yes. We're not talking parenting here. We're talking marriage. You need that. Prioritize it. Okay. But that's not my main 3 points. Here's the 3 practicals. Okay. Have a date night. Have some kind of date. Doesn't have to be a night. Okay, but have some sort of once a week. Everything I'm about to say, I think at bare minimum ought to happen every single week. Is there a verse that says that? No. But this would be practical wisdom from experience in my life and many other people. You ought to be having some sort of date once a week, I think, practically. Again, it doesn't mean that you have to dress up really nice and go spend $100 at an Italian restaurant. It could just be getting away for an hour, again, without the kids. That's the emphasis. And just go eat ice cream and just look at each other and talk and laugh and joke and remember why you got married in the first place. You need some time at least once a week, in a sense, to let your hair down, to laugh, to joke, and just to have fun and it not be serious and it not be about the kids. Okay? Try not to talk about the kids. They'll come up anyway. But, you know, make something else up. Talk about Auburn football, okay, on the date, better than talking about the kids. All right? The second one, okay? Sex. Now, let me put a caveat before I keep going, because some of you are like, he said once a week. I'm saying this is bare minimum, ground floor, starting point, right? Kind of like the tithe ought to be the training wheels in giving, but if you're a mature Christian, you give a lot more. Please don't come away and use this against your spouse, whichever spouse enjoys sex less. There's always one that likes it more and one that likes it less. If you're like, that's so hard in our marriage, that's every marriage that's ever existed throughout time. Okay? Welcome to the club. So if you're the one that says, I don't enjoy sex as much or as often or whatever, don't use what I'm saying once a week. I'm seriously saying, at minimum, you should be having it once a week. I hope you're having it more. But that's for you and your wife to work out, and I'm not going to get into all the details there. Again, we'll leave that for Benny next week, okay? And Belinda, okay? She's going to speak about that. There are lots of good, solid, conservative, evangelical theologians that would say that the place of sex, even in the Bible and in marriage, is supposed to be, in a sense, like a covenant renewal ceremony. In a sense, a very tangible way to re-say your vows to one another. And it's a fun way to re-say your vows to one another, right? Saying the vows again, that's kind of weird to do it too often. But this is a good practical way that God's given us. You ought to be doing this. The other things I'm going to talk about tonight, like a date night. Technically, you could do that with other people. I mean, you wouldn't call it a date night, right? But Ben and I could say, Friday night, let's go hang out and eat buffalo wings and watch the football game. And that's kind of like a male, you know, platonic friendship kind of date. That's fine. Sex is the one thing in the universe that you really aren't supposed to be doing anything in the ballpark sexually with anybody else in the whole wide world. And so it creates this very unique sense of intimacy. And that's part of what it's supposed to do. But it doesn't work if you're not doing it. Okay. Third. Okay. And this would be the most important. Sex is really high, but this is even more important. You ought to be praying together at least once a week. And by that, I do not count the blessing. I do not count praying with the kids before they go to bed. I do not count family worship, although all those things are important. I'm talking about a time for you and your wife to be alone and to talk about at a deep level what's going on in your heart, share your needs, and then spend time praying. We have found in our marriage, and I found this true in a lot of other marriages, that quality is more important than quantity. Now, I know some couples, they pray together every single night, and it works really well for them. But those couples are very rare and few and far between, and they can't have four kids playing sports. Okay? What we found is when we tried to do that, we're going to pray together every night. And if you're doing that, don't back off. More power to you. Okay? But what we found is what it turned into is, because my wife usually, not always, goes to bed a little bit before I do, that as she was falling asleep, I was saying, oh, yeah, we haven't prayed. God bless the missionaries. And that was it. Okay? And let's just be honest, that's close to worthless. That's like a conscience clear. That's not helping anybody. So I want to camp out on this one for just a second. I would say our first 4 years of ministry, we tried to get into a good rhythm of doing this, and we absolutely failed for lots of reasons. One, I was too belligerent in how I was trying to make it happen. I was like, we're going to meet at the house and sit here and read a chapter of the Bible and discuss it. And Lena was stubborn, insecure, I don't know, a couple of things. And she didn't want to play that. But eventually, we kind of started to land on something. And I'll get into this more. But part of what I started to realize is Lena's like, you know, part of my job in life is being the homemaker and doing the laundry and cleaning. And so when you say, let's spend some special time together and pray at the house, that's disgusting to me. I don't want to be a mom. I'd like to get out and go somewhere. And so like, okay, let's, again, this was in a time we didn't have much money. So it's like, she's like, I'll be fine if we just ride around in the car. I was like, okay, we can do that, you know? And so we found that we started riding around the car, listening to Tim Keller's sermons back on tape back then on marriage. And then we would stop somewhere outside. She loves being outside at a park. And we would just talk about what we learned and pray about it. And it was transformative. And now what it's become in our marriage, okay, we have a little bit more money, is usually, now this is our schedule, may not work for you, is on Monday mornings, after the kids go to school, we'll meet somewhere. Again, she still likes to be out of the house. So coffee, brunch, muffin, doesn't matter, lunch, somewhere, and we'll just talk. And a lot of times guys are like, what do you talk about? We say things like this. This is always a good question, guys. Write this one down. Are you mad at me? Right? Okay, that's always a good one. How are we doing? You know, I think we're doing okay. How do you think we're doing? Seriously, how is your heart with the Lord? What's going on with you spiritually? And then talk about what's going on with your heart. And listen, if you haven't done this in a while, it'll feel really awkward. Like if you hadn't had sex in a while. Because this is basically spiritual intimacy. But it's worth it. It has become the best part of our marriage. I think maybe one of the most enjoyable things that we look forward to. We try to protect it like crazy. Okay. Now, I do want to say this. We've had some seasons in our marriage. Praise God, we're not in one of them right now. But we have had some seasons in our marriage where for months we were so busy, largely because of my job and I was traveling a lot and doing college ministry. I was gone a lot at night. Plus, four kids that were all doing different sports at different times at different places. And it's divide and conquer, right? I take this kid there, you do this. That I'm not exaggerating. Where for months on a time, what it felt like, and I think this is pretty accurate, is that we would see each other Monday morning at 8 for our little prayer date. That's what we call it, prayer date, spiritual date, something like that. Last an hour at the longest, usually. Okay? Seriously, a lot of times it's 45 minutes. Go in, order the cup of coffee, sit down, talk about each other's heart, and then we just go sit in the car where we can have some privacy and just pray for like 10 minutes. Just focus prayer. And we're not praying for all the nations. Maybe we should be, okay? But mainly what we're praying for is our marriage and our hearts and how we're doing. Okay? We'd see each other Monday morning. We'd do that. And then we literally wouldn't see each other interact again until Friday night. Or if we saw each other, it was like one of those 5 minutes in passing. Hey, hand me a burrito and then I got to run. But if we were at least having our spiritual date, praying together once a week, having some kind of date night, it could be short and sweet at least once a week, and having sex at least once a week, okay, it was amazing how connected we still felt during the busiest of times, during the craziest of times. So again, you could do more than that, but I don't think you should do any less. Okay, now there's the practicals. Now, that was all kind of point one, three practicals. Here's point two, three principles about how exactly you apply this. Because I don't want a show of hands, but I bet if I ask for a show of hands, how many of you are like shocked or wowed by any of those points? Have a date, have sex, and pray together. I bet none of you are like, this guy's freaking amazing. I've never heard any of that before. Right? It's all pretty basic stuff. But I also bet if I said, and how many of you are consistently doing it every week? And then I'll even say, I'll lower the bar. 80% consistency. I don't know, and I'm not going to embarrass, but my guess is most people are going to raise their hands because we undervalue it, which really means at some level we undervalue our marriage. We undervalue our spouse, and we got to keep it a high priority. So the three principles, the first one is this, okay? Prioritize one another. I mean, did you hear what I read in Ephesians chapter 5? He says to the wife, wife, you should submit to, honor, and respect your husband in the exact same way you respect Jesus. What's more important than that? You should respect your husband more than you respect the entire U.S. government, which is pretty easy right now, right? Okay? But even on his best day, if George Washington was still president, you should have more respect and honor for your husband because he's the representative of Christ in your life. That speaks to prioritization. Husbands, you're supposed to love your wife in the same way that Jesus loved the church. I'm supposed to love my neighbors myself. That's pretty big, but this is even bigger. That means I love my wife more than I love anybody else on the planet. And husbands, your, in some sense, main goal in marriage ought to be to convince your wife that she's your number one priority, second only to Christ. And wives, it's the same thing. So you prioritize one another. So I'm going to try to give you real specific examples, okay, because I'm trying to make this practical. So we're going to take the sex application, talk about prioritization, okay? This should not be something that's just rushed. It should not be something that's just like, I'm so exhausted, can we please get it over quickly? It should not be something that's just always, hey, the kids are watching a TV show, I think we got 10 minutes, let's sneak upstairs and just be real quiet. I'm not saying that you can't have sex that way sometimes, but if that becomes the dominance of your sex life, you're probably in a dangerous, unhealthy place. That makes sense? I mean, just from a real practical standpoint, because people can get stuff a lot more exciting with one click on the internet. Now, should that be our only motivation? No. Should that be our main motivation? No. But it ought to be factored in there because that's just the world we live in. So you ought to prioritize your sex life. Again, here's another practical application. We figured out once our kids got to the age, especially where all of them know about sex, right? So like if the door's locked, what are y'all doing in there? And, you know, at least for one of us, that totally ruins the moment, okay? That we started saying, and again, I have a very flexible schedule. Sometimes it's crazy and I'm gone a lot, but I can get off in the middle of the day if I want to. We try to schedule a time once a week to meet at home with no kids and have sex. Now, listen, especially during COVID, most of you got some crazy schedules anyway. You can work from home. Take your lunch break. It's worth it. Prioritize at least once a week to make it a special time. Okay? Enough about that, unless you ask some good questions. The second one, okay? Personalize the way that you apply these three practical things. And what I mean here is be curious about your spouse. Get to know them. Now, again, I could apply this one to the sexual place I want, okay, to avoid awkwardness. But what I'll say this is we get into a place with one another. We think, I totally understand her. I totally get him. And we just get into ruts. Like, I have strengths about my personality. I have weaknesses. One of my strengths is I tend to be fairly disciplined, fairly routine, fairly consistent. So this whole date night thing, it's like I've been knocking it out of the park for a while in the consistency department. Saturday night, 6 p.m., date night, you know, just lock it in. But my mindset is this, is like, you know, there's an Outback right around the corner. Who doesn't like Outback? It's not terribly expensive. It's kind of nice. You can get a really good steak, the Outback special, for about $12, right? Don't have to wait in that long of a line. Who doesn't like Outback? That is not the way my wife operates, okay? It's like, we went to Outback 3 years ago. We need to do something new. And so I have tried to figure her out. Anybody else in this same boat with me? Now, listen, I'm saying this. I'm serious. It's going to be a little funny, but I mean, there is something about God that is mysterious, right? Anybody got God figured out? And when your wife is mysterious at some level, she really is reflecting some of the mystery of God to you. That's one of the ways that she reflects the image of God. That is not the way the average guy, including myself, thinks in the moment. It's like, dadgummit, you're a moving target. This isn't fair. But if I can have a spirit-filled moment, I'm saying, she's showing me something of the glory of God right here. And just like it's glorious to seek God in His mystery, it's glorious to seek your wife, guys. And women, you should be seeking to know your men. So, 1 week, my wife might want to go to a really nice restaurant. And the next week, she's like, I don't want to go out at night. I want to go out in the day and let's go hike. But not at the park next to our house. The park 30 minutes on the other side of the universe. Okay? Hey, that's where we're going to go. And the next week, it's like, I want to go somewhere fun. And I'm like, I don't know what fun means, honestly. But I've learned that, like, fun often means a Mexican restaurant that's a hole in the wall that keeps Christmas lights up all year round. And so I'll go there. And so next week, I'm like, I found a new Mexican restaurant. She's like, no, I don't want Mexican. I want to go around downtown and find a cool place to eat dessert. It's like, okay. But here's the point. If I really love her, if I really prioritize her the way Jesus commands me to, I will gladly say I am willing to summon all of the creative energy in my body, which is so little, to try to find a way to lovingly pursue her, to personalize it. So it doesn't just feel like I'm checking the box of duty. Does that make sense what I'm saying? In your sex life, in your dating life, and even in your prayer life, if it just feels like you're showing up doing your duty every week, that'll be cool for about a month, guys. And then it'll run out and it'll get stale. You got to personalize your pursuit. And my third principle here is pursuit. What do I mean by that? Just don't wait for the other person to initiate, right? That's what we do. We kind of get stuck in our corner. If the guy likes sex more and the girl likes, you know, cool date nights more, she's kind of thinking, well, we're not going to have any good sex because we ain't had any cool date nights yet. And he's thinking, I ain't taking you to any nice date nights because we ain't had any good sex in a while. So, huh? You know? And listen, that's the beginning of a divorce. I mean, that's the tiniest seed form of ruining the marriage. I'm waiting for you to move first. And we both ought to be saying, no, I'll move first. Even though I haven't felt love from you, I'll step in and show you respect. Even though I haven't felt really honored by you, I don't feel like you've personalized your pursuit or anything, I'm going to take the first step. Now, almost done. Let me give just two super fast perspectives even on how to apply that last point. I'm going to give you a good perspective, and then I'm going to give you the best perspective. The good perspective is this. Anytime in the marriage when you come home and you're kind of feeling like it's the other person's turn to move first. Anybody ever been there? Right? I've been working super hard. I planned a nice date last weekend. I bought a gift. Blah, blah. You know, it's like I have a lot of points in the love bank as far as I'm keeping count. Not that I'm keeping count. So she ought to be initiating to me to let me not have to bathe the kids tonight and just watch SportsCenter to my heart's content, because that's what I really want. Okay? When that thought goes through your mind, just know in that moment, she's probably thinking the exact same thing in reverse. You understand what I mean? She's probably thinking, I'm the one that's been home all day. I have a part-time job that feels like a full-time job a lot. And then I come home and I clean and I cook and I help the kids with homework. He's been at work and his job, I don't even know what he does there. And it's fun and he hangs out with his friends and he takes all these cool trips to other places and gets to eat at cool restaurants. And I've been eating PBJs for 7 days in a row. Can't he just let me do something fun with my friends? And so when you're kind of feeling that way, what you got to realize is almost always your spouse is probably feeling the exact same way. And if you can catch yourself in that moment and say, no, I'm not going to wait for him or her to initiate. I'm going to initiate in love and pursuit. Does that make sense? Now listen, that's a good perspective. That's a practical perspective. That's a helpful perspective. But here's the danger. If that's the main perspective you operate out of, although it's good and practical, helpful, it will turn into a form of legalism. Because then you'll just start counting. I initiated last time. I initiated 2 weeks ago. I've got at least 50 initiations on her. Dadgummit, I'm owed. And once you feel owed, you feel bitter, you feel self-righteous. Again, it's bad. So what's the better perspective? What's the best perspective? What's the marriage-saving, keep your marriage fresh for 20 years and love your spouse well? It's this. Just spend as much time as you realistically, practically can meditating on how the Lord Jesus and all of your sin and rebellion pursued you in the past and is still pursuing you today. I mean, imagine if he had sat in heaven on his throne with all the angels worshiping him, said, you know what? If those stupid sinners down there will just take the bare minimum step towards me of initiation, then I'll move heaven and earth to save them. We'd all still be dead in our sins and headed for eternal hell. But out of great love and mercy, out of great sacrifice, he said, no, I'm going to initiate all the way. I'm going to sprint to them, though it literally cost me everything. And to the degree, guys, that gets deep in our minds and in our hearts, it'll radically transform the way you love, you pursue, you personalize your pursuit of your spouse. And listen, when you both start doing that, that's when you have the recipe for a great marriage. You know, there's a place in Romans where Paul says, outdo one another in showing honor. Almost like a competition. Who can honor the other more first? It's a great marriage. I'm going to pray. We literally will take like 30 seconds or left if you want to write down a question anonymously. And then we will, I don't know, you know, if there's only one person with an anonymous question, I don't know how we'll do that. But we'll come up here and then we'll have some Q&A and it can just be from the floor. Okay, so let me pray. And somebody can answer that while I play. Father, we love you. Father, we are weak sinners. And Lord, most of us have a lot of good knowledge. We've read good books before. We've heard good sermons. We've probably, most of us have been to a seminar before. We miss it somehow in the consistency of application. Father, we often miss it. Even when we're doing the right applications, we lose the right heart and perspective behind it. Lord, would you give us more and more of a deeper gospel experience with you? And out of the overflow of your love to us, would it be transforming us and motivating us to love one another well? And Father, I pray this not just so that we would all have happy and healthy marriages, although we want that. I pray that our marriages would be so strong that we could minister to others who are struggling. Pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of Truth Wars with Dr. Olin Stubbs. If you have any questions for Olin, please email him at olin.stubbs@campusoutreach.org.